Okay, today, welcome everyone. We are discussing chapter 3 of Pirkei Avot. We're in the statement over here, it's Mishnah number Yud Zayin, but different books are different. And we're discussing a statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We talked about last week. We said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is Hare Ani Keben Shivim Shana, I'm like a man of 70 years old. And he was appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva, as the Nasi of the court, of the prince of the court. And we talked about last week, we talked about Derech Eretz. And he continues. And he said, we talked about Chochmah bin Adat. And then he says, Emen kemach en Torah. If there's no flour, there is no Torah. So number one responsibility is to put flour on the table. A person's got to go to work. A person has to be able to earn their living. A person has to live both physically and spiritually. Unfortunately, we are in a bind. We have a body and a soul. So a person's got to make sure their body is well and their soul is well. So a person's got to make sure that the body is well and the soul is well. So the body needs sustenance.
Okay, so
a person has to sustain themselves. Emen kemach
en Torah.
Emen Torah en kemach.
What does kemach mean?
Kemach is flour. Flour is food.
I know what
flour is. Food. Flour is bread.
That's so if there's no food, there's no Torah?
In other words, if there's nothing to eat, a person can't learn. He has no strength. We need the strength, we need the sustenance to be able to learn Torah. In other words, so what comes first? The person's priority in life. Do you go to work or do you go and learn Torah? What do you do? And the answer is you've got to do both. They're both important. We need to provide for our spiritual souls and we need to provide for our physical bodies. And that's what Rambam says in Hilchot Deot. He says the priority is a healthy body and a healthy soul. So the body is not healthy, the soul's not going to be able to do anything. You won't be able to learn Torah. You won't be able to do mitzvot. Won't be able to do chesed. Won't do any kind of anything. So the body has to be healthy. And for the body to be healthy, it has to be sustenance for the body. That's kemach. And then there has to be sustenance for the soul. So a person has all the food in the world. Right? The average person in America is very overweight. So they have all the food in the world, all the kemach in the world, but there's no Torah. There's no ethics. There's no morality. There's no learning. So there has to be a balance between the two. It's a beautiful idea. This beautiful idea that a person needs both. We need to do both. So a person needs to have bread to eat. And a person needs to have Torah to learn. So there's plenty of Torah to learn. There's no shortage of Torah to learn. But a person's got to realize it's a priority in life. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Just like a person says, you know, what's for lunch? I'm starving. So a person's going to say, what am I going to learn today? I'm starving spiritually. And the problem is people today don't realize they're starving spiritually. How do you know? Because they're depressed. And depression is a sign for spiritual starvation. I'm just generalizing. Depression is a sign for spiritual starvation. And some people just eat because they're hungry spiritually.
Right.
Some people spend their whole day in the mall buying things because they're hungry spiritually and they think by buying things, it'll make me happy inside. And it won't. It won't make them happy inside. Materialism will not satisfy you spiritually. Spirituality can satisfy you materially as well, sometimes. You see, people are very spiritual, they eat less. Because spiritually they're so satisfied. So maybe you see these great rabbis, they're emaciated already. They really are emaciated. You see these guys walking around, they're very thin, skinny, and they lived 104 years old. So, says Rav Avadia Yosef, it's a beautiful story. Rav Avadia Yosef, it says he was a young man, he was married, and he had hardly any food in the house. And he would come home late, he'd go to give shir, and his wife would prepare some gruel, you know, some porridge for him. So one day he goes home, and he sees some kind of paste over there by the washing machine, and he eats the paste, and he goes to sleep. His wife wakes up in the morning, she says, hey, I prepared starch to starch the clothes. He says, your food is here, but the starch is finished. Did you eat the starch? So I don't remember. It didn't make a difference to him. His brother used to play tricks on him. His brother was a big trickster. His brother would like to play practical jokes. So he wanted to see if he'd notice if he took away the food from him. So what happened is, he's eating his lunch, and he's reading a book. He's always reading a book. He's always learning Torah. So he's eating his lunch, absent-minded, eating his lunch. And when he turned the page, his brother swiped his plate. He's in the middle of eating lunch. So he puts down his knife and fork, and he stopped eating. He didn't say, who took my plate? Who took my food? He assumed the food ended, finished. So he just gave up. That was how he lived. In other words, food was not a major concern for him. There was food. But it wasn't, he didn't live his life for his food. Today we live our lives for our food. What's for lunch? What's for dinner? It better be good. Oh, I see, there's going to be a riot, right? If the food is not good, it will be a riot. Ma, what's for lunch today? I can't. It's disgusting. Ma. So it's good to be easygoing. When it comes to the material, it's good to be easygoing. Because we have to realize the main job we have, that's the trouble today. People don't realize their main task in life. People don't realize today we are tasked. We have a task to accomplish. And you know what? It's not endless. We don't have endless time. People think they have endless time. See people today. They get married late. They have children late. If they have children at all. If they ever get married. It's like they don't realize they're here for a purpose. People don't realize there's a purpose over here. It's like God just put over here to have a good time. You can have a good time as well as doing your purpose. People don't realize that. You can have pleasure as well as doing the purpose. That's the ideal. The ideal is to have pleasure by doing good things. To have pleasure by doing mitzvot, by pleasure having children, pleasure in getting married, pleasure. There's pleasure involved. But it's also productive, it's also purposeful. Person has to have a purpose in life and a purposeful purpose. So if there's no Torah study, all the kemach in the world is wasted. All the food in the world can be wasted if there's no purpose for the food. So just eating and eating and eating, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to use that energy for good. I was going to use that energy for good. So Buzz says, you know what? I'm filling up my tank. It's like going, go to the gas station. You fill up your tank. What are you going to fill up your tank for? Well, I got to travel to so-and-so place. I'm going to go to run my errands. So there's a purpose behind filling up the tank. You're not just filling up the tank to fill up a tank. Same thing a person eats, we're filling up our tank. What are you going to do with that tank? A person's going to think, I'm filling up my tank in order to do this purpose, or this purpose, this purpose. Otherwise, it's just for the sake of filling the tank, which doesn't make sense. So that's what we're saying. We're saying that a person has to have sustenance in order to learn Torah. But a person who doesn't learn Torah, in the end, all that sustenance is wasted. There's no purpose to the sustenance. So a person fills up his tank, what for? For a purpose. If there's no purpose, let's use it for all the gas. He used to say, the question is now, what is more important, theory or practice? What's more important, to know all this material in your head? Look at all these books around here. You know all every single book in your head. And you sit down over there and do nothing about it. What's more important, theory or practice?
Practice.
Why is practice important?
Makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. Okay, very good.
Habit,
very good. Makes a habit, good habit. What else? Practice. Because practice is theory expressed. It's in use. Now, theory has a mission. Theory is expressed through the practice. So theory by itself is just theory. You've never done it. It's just a theory. Maybe it doesn't work. You never know. Until you actually put it in practice, you don't know. So therefore, it's very important. And how do people do this? How do people hear a class and straight away they say, what I learned from that class, let me put into practice straight away. Whatever I learned in the class, I'll put into practice. That's the ideal. And that's what he says. A person has more theory than practice. What is he like? He's like a tree that has more branches and very few roots. People don't realize, when you look at a tree, the tree's roots are bigger than the tree. It's very hard to imagine. You know, you're looking at the tree out of the ground, you see this massive trunk of a tree and the branches. You got to realize that the roots in the ground are bigger than the tree. Otherwise, the tree would fall over. Hard to imagine, right? Hard to imagine the roots going down. Amazing. In Jewish law, I think it's 25 amot. You cannot plant a tree next to your neighbor's yard. You have to stay 25 amot, which is like 40 feet away from your neighbors to plant a tree. Because the roots are going to go into your neighbor's yard. 40 feet, imagine. So it's interesting. We don't really pay attention. So a person would have more theory than practice. The theory is the branches and the leaves, and the practice are the roots. Normally I think the practice are the fruits of the tree. No, the practice is the roots. When you're practicing, you are digging roots. Actually digging roots in the ground. You're stabilizing yourself into the ground as a religious person, as a spiritual person, by digging those roots. So the roots are the practice. So what happens? A person has more theory than practice. You know, in Spain, the Jews in Spain were terrific philosophers.
Which
Philosophers. Uh-huh. Amazing philosophers. All our great philosophers came were Jews from Spain. The greatest philosophers, you can list them. You know, you have the Rambam, you have the Albo, you have the Ababanel, you have the Ramban. You keep on going. All the great Jewish philosophers were all Spanish Jews, right? What happened? 1492. 1492, you have a choice. Either you become Christian or you go, run. A lot of people stayed. Why? They philosophized. They rationalized. You can hide out Judaism. Whole synagogues converted with the rabbi. The rabbi became the priest and the synagogue became a church. Whole synagogues converted. Why? Because they philosophized. They had more theory than practice. They're willing to give up the practice for the theory. They said, oh, we still believe in one God. It's okay. But it's very hard. It is a very hard choice. Until today, you go to South America, they say, I don't know how many people, they just did a survey now, how much DNA there is in people, you know. So if you look at it, there's an article yesterday about the Jews of Recife. Recife is in Brazil. It's in northern Brazil, and it's the third biggest town in Brazil, and there's more murders there. It's like 18 times as many murders as in New York. And most of the Jews are leaving. The Ashkenazi Jews are leaving. And there's a lot of Jews now, new Jews. They're Anusim. They're B'nai Anusim. They're the B'nai Anusim who are coming back and saying, we are Jewish. So there's three or four new synagogues of people who came back to Judaism. Amazing, right now. Right. As we're talking, there's Jews coming back. There's people coming back from the B'nai Anusim. We know the Jews, the first Jews in America, in New York. And New Amsterdam came from Recife in Brazil. You know, they built the Sherit Israel. Right. From Brazil, because the Portuguese, what happens was the Dutch were there in Recife, and then the Portuguese conquered it, and the Portuguese brought with them their Inquisition. They brought their Inquisition with them. So the Jews of Recife came here, but a lot of them stayed behind and converted, and now they're coming out woodworks. It's amazing how 500 years later there are people coming out. You see different stories. There's one girl's grandmother told her when she was dying, she said, bury me in the Jewish cemetery.
What? I'm sorry.
She said, bury me in the Jewish cemetery.
Oh.
So,
obviously she was Jewish.
Obviously she was Jewish. So they're finding out slowly. So a lot of people are coming back now. Shneimar. So now, what's better? Theory or practice? And the answer is you need both, obviously. You need to have theory, otherwise you can't do anything. But just theory with no practice, the tree's going to fall over. The tree's going to fall over. That's what he's saying. Put into practice what you learn. Put into practice. You know, it's very hard because today there's many branches of the Torah that we can't put into practice. Why? Because we have a third of the Torah is all about purity, ritual purity, which we don't have today. And it's about the korbanot, the sacrifice in the temple, which we don't have today. So one whole third of the Torah is all theory and no practice. So it's very hard to even think about how to do these things. It says in Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gets two mitzvot he doesn't know how to do. Hashem has to show him in fire. Number one was the machzit shekel, right? The half a shekel. He says, make a half a shekel. He says, what's a half a shekel? Show me. Hashem shows him in fire, in his brain, in his visualization, what the half a shekel looks like. So he has to design this coin, this half a shekel coin. Can you imagine? He had no idea. Says Hashem says, make a menorah. Make the menorah. How do I make a menorah? What's a menorah? It's a kaftor, v'ferach. There's buttons and there's flowers. How do I make it? He shows him in fire the design of the menorah. Certain things, it's all theory. You can't visualize it. You don't even know how to put it into practice. See, Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem with theory. God says, this is the theory. Now do it. So I don't know how to do it. You have to show me. Show me a picture. Show me how to do it. So the problem with theory is, it's all theory. A person says, you know, I learned the laws of Shabbat, but I never kept the Shabbat in my life. Well, you'll never know how the theory, how to put it into practice if you don't do the practice. So practice is very important. And that's why a person's got to practice what they preach. A person's got to practice what they preach. There was a famous rabbi, Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma used to preach about the mitzvah of having children. And he himself left his wife. So they told him, Yesh na'e doresh v'yesh na'e mekayem. There's a person who gives a good story, gives drashot, and a person who keeps what he does. He says, you talk well, but you don't keep it. Right. You got to talk well, and you got to do it as well. You got to walk the walk. You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. So it's very important to have the practice and the and the theory. But practice is more important, because when you do and you have a question, you can also always ask. A person doesn't do when I have questions. Or always get questions for people who are doing. People who are not doing, there's no questions. There's theoretical questions. You know who are very good at theoretical questions? Kids. Kids always ask theoretical questions. And what if this? And what if that? And what if that? What if that? Very good. They're very good. That's what the Gemara does. Exactly what the Gemara does. Ask theoretical questions. But only for the sake of practice. Whoever has more deeds than theory, what is he like? A tree whose branches are small, but the roots are big. And then even a big wind cannot blow it down, it doesn't move. As it says, this is Yirmiyahu. I quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Be like a tree rooted by the river. And it shoots out its roots. It doesn't make a difference whether it's going to be hot, not hot, because the roots are embedded into the water below. Okay, so always give fruits. So that is a person who needs to know theory, but also his practice needs to be more than the theory. Okay, we're moving on to Mishnah Yudchet. Rabbi Elazar Chisma. Okay, Rabbi Elazar Chisma was a student of Rabban Gamliel and a student of Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah. And he would also learn a lot of... Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah was an expert astronomer. He was an expert astronomer. Some people say he discovered Halley's Comet, thousands of years before Halley. How do you know? Because the Jews always sent emissaries to Rome. Unfortunately, Rome conquered Israel. Unfortunately. Big tragedy. And the Jews always sent emissaries to go to the emperor and plead against the procurator, who was the local governor of Israel. They always had trouble with the governors of Israel, because the governors were there to get as much taxes as they could. Plus, they interfered with our religion. So the Jews always sent rabbis to Rome to plead the case. And one year they sent Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua on the same boat to go to Rome to plead the case. And Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva took bread with them. It takes a few days to go to Rome. From Israel, from Tel Aviv, you go by boat, you go straight to Italy. Go to Italy. Not so long. It takes a few days, and then for the bread, they took the sandwiches, and it should be enough. Rabbi Yeshua takes flour. He said, Yeshua, what's going on? He says, we got bread, and you got flour. Why are you taking flour? It doesn't take so long. He said, you wait and see. Every 70 years, there's a star that confuses the sailors. So he knew Halley's Comet is due now. Every 70 years, there's a comet. The sailors, they're computing by the stars. They get confused by Halley's Comet. So we say he's the one who discovered Halley's Comet. It should be Rabbi Yeshua's comet. So anyway, his student was Rabbi Elazar Chisma. And it's a beautiful story. So Rabbi Elazar Chisma was a student. He was also a very big astronomer. He learned from Yeshua.
Isn't astronomy a Bodhazara?
No, Chas v'Shalom. You're thinking about astrology. There's astronomy and astrology. Astronomy is a science. And astrology is how to interpret the zodiac. Astrology can also be a science. It's also a science. Today we don't know how to do it. Today these astrologers on the newspapers, they're all garbage. Today you have the store on Highland Park, right? She reads your hand, your palm, your this. What? She'll read anything. You give her the money, she'll read anything for you. She'll read anything for you. That is Asur. That is forbidden completely Jewish law. Why? Because we believe in God. We don't believe in whatever's your... But they used to, when a kid was born, they used to write a horoscope. They would sit down on the day of the birth. They write, this kid's going to da-da-da-da. We find Rabbi Akiva. It says that on the day that his daughter was born, the astrologer told them she's going to die on her wedding day. Imagine what a kind of prediction that is. The astrologer says she's going to die on her wedding day. And Rabbi Akiva says, ha 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 ha. And on her wedding day, it says she's, Dad, I can't find my beautiful diamond pin, my hairpin. My hairpin is missing. I lost this beautiful diamond hairpin. Where is it, Dad? So Dad is looking all over the hairpin. He finds it. It's in those days, the walls had crevices. There was no plaster. He found it in a crevice in the wall, stuck right into the head of a poisonous snake. He takes it out with the poisonous snake and he thinks. So then he remembers the astrologer predicted that she's going to be killed on the wedding day by a snake. Says, yes, he says, tell me, he says, what did you do today that stopped you from dying? You're meant to be killed today by this poisonous snake. She said, I saw a poor man come to the wedding and I sat him down, I gave him some food to eat. So he goes and he screams. He says, Sadaka tatzil memavit. Charity can save from death. So the deeds we do and the prayers we say can change our horoscope. We believe that our prayers can change our horoscope. That's what the Gemara says. Ein mazal Yisrael. We are not governed by astrology. Jews are not governed by astrology. We can change our future. We can change our destinies. So that's what we learn. So that's why astrology is not a good science. It may be a science, but it's not good. Why? Because we can change it. How can we change it? A person shouldn't accept it. The astrologer says, da 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 da, you got to da da da, so that doesn't apply to me. I can change my future by my prayers. We can change our future by our prayers. So we have to believe. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of mitzvot. Three things can change a gezerah. There's a decree in heaven against the person. How can you change it? Kol, som, mamon. Kol is tefillah. Som is teshuvah, which is fasting, teshuvah. And mamon is tzedakah, charity. It's called som mamon. These three words all add up. Gematria 136. Kol Soma Mamon. I have the same gematria. Kol Kuf Vav Lamed, 136. Som Tzadi Vav Mem, 136. You don't even have to work it out. I'm telling you, it's 136. And Mamon is 136. And they all add up to the word Sulam. Sulam is a ladder. Because they're all vehicles to climb to God. So a person prays, you're climbing up the ladder. This is Jacob's ladder. Sulam, gematria 136. The ladder to God is prayer, teshuvah, tzedakah. That's the ladder to God. A person can change all decrees. A person can change all the decrees by those three techniques. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma, he says three things. Kinin u'pitchei nida. Now he's coming to a very interesting topic. What are the main things that Jews should learn? What's the main thing that Jews should learn? So he brings down things that people don't learn. Kinin are the bird offerings. Very, very complicated. Bird offerings. The laws of bird offerings and Nida, the laws of Nida. Very, very critical. The person should know these laws. These are the main halachot a person should spend their time to learn. These are the main laws of the Torah Shebaal Peh. These things are not expressed in the Torah, they're Torah Shebaal Peh.
What's the first one?
Kinin, which is laws of birds. Birds.
What are the laws of birds?
Exactly. So that's it. That's what he's telling us. He says most people don't know the laws of birds, and that's why a person should focus their efforts on Torah study. So today we have no korbanot, we have no sacrifices. So I said, this part of the Torah is all theory. One third of the Torah is theory. So it says when a woman gives birth, she has to bring a korban. When leper, why do you get leprosy? Metzora, motzira. He was a he speak lashon hara. So he has to bring a bird as part of his ritual. So these laws of these birds, he said, these are main laws of oral law. Very little written about it in Torah, and you have to learn them. And the laws of Nida also. Today is very, very critical. People know. People, married women, should know these laws of Nida. Very, very critical.
Rabbi,
you can't live together with your husband without the laws of Nida. Can't live together.
They still use birds. Some people believe if a person is sick, you put it...
Chas v'shalom.
But they don't.
We're not allowed to. We're not allowed to.
They believe what?
What do you mean you're not allowed to?
It depends. If it's medical, it's okay. But if it's not medical, it's a superstition. Jews are not allowed to be superstitious. We're not allowed to be superstitious. It's called Darkei Emori. We're not allowed to follow the ways of the Amorites, who are the Canaanites with all their superstitions. It's a famous Mishnah and Shabbat. The Mishnah and Shabbat discusses a very weird cases. Rav Meir Bar Anes says, you're allowed to walk around with a locust egg under your ear on Shabbat. Why wear a locust? A locust egg under your ear. That was, in those days, that was considered a cure for an earache.
Oh my God.
They had all these weird things. What are they called? Superstitions.
Right.
So there's a machlok in the Gemara. Are you allowed to believe in those superstitions or not? The Chachamim say asur. Not allowed to do anything superstitious for the sake of curing someone, even if you think it works. It's a superstition. So therefore, a person not allowed to believe in superstitions, because then their mind is not rational anymore, their minds are not logical anymore, and they're not going to believe in God anymore, they're going to believe in other things which are stupid. So a person's going to be careful to keep away from anything superstitious, and keep away from things that don't make sense, and there's a lot of vestiges, there's vestiges like the Khamsa, and this and that. Don't believe in all this garbage. Jews are meant to be smart people. We don't believe in all this garbage, red strings, throw them away, burn them. Red strings, plastic. Okay. Amen.
No, Itaka believes in it. I mean, whatever my son had,
Okay.
It went away without it.
Okay.
But people believe in that, right?
Okay, tell him, Asur. Tell him from me.
Tell him
from me. The rabbi said, no superstitions allowed. We are rational people. We believe in God, and we believe in what God sent. God created medication. Medication is allowed. If it works, it's allowed. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not. If proven to work, then it's a medicine. Rav Tendler goes on the extreme. Rav Tendler, Rav Mordechai Tendler, he goes on the extreme. He even bans homeopathic. You know that? He says homeopathic is a superstition. Because it's a placebo. It doesn't work. In science, it doesn't work. Their idea is the less you give, the more effective it is. It's totally against rational. Anyways.
I know.
I'm just saying, but it depends. If it's proven, if it's proven, then it's not homeopathic anymore. If it's not, we're talking about where it's not proven. There's all these remedies, Kali Fos, Kali Mur, Kali this, Kali that. My father's a big believer. He used to practice on us. So I know all about it. My father used to give me when I was a kid. You got a cold, you got a temperature, you take this, you take that.
But there is power of suggestion.
Yes, placebo effect, the placebo effect.
The placebo effect is actually proven to be very strong.
It is, 20%. 20% of people are either healed or made worse. You know, placebo works both ways.
Right.
The placebo can make you feel better or can make you feel worse. It's interesting.
It depends on whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, okay. The more you believe, the better for you. So if you believe it works, it works.
Mind over matter.
Are you going to tell me, Rabbi, that you don't believe in Ayin Hara?
Chas v'shalom. Why should I believe in Ayin Hara?
I thought this Friday believed in
that. We don't believe in anything. We believe in God. That's it. I believe in God. Ayin Hara, this Ra, this Ra. All this Hashem is way above. God is way above. If you believe in God, nothing can touch you.
That's right.
Hashem, Ches is when you're surrounded by kindness. A person really believes in God, surrounded by kindness. Once you give into these things, then you're going to become a very big paranoia. It's called paranoia.
It's not in the Torah?
Ayin Hara? Yeah. It's hinted to with that Yosef. Ben Parat, you said Ben Parat, Ale Ayin, the Gemara says, Antikre, Ale Ayin, Ale Ayin, above the eye. Yosef was above the eye. Whose eye was he above? He was above the eye of Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife desired him. She put her eye on him. That's what it means. The eye of desire, and he rose above it. He didn't give in. So the eye, we got a person going to realize, what is an eye? An eye is jealousy. Mm-hmm. Jealousy, I want this, that's an eye. So how do you raise yourself above it? Number one is by not being ostentatious. I don't have anything that people would desire. Not to show off, not to flaunt. It's very important not to flaunt. And number two is trust in God. Nothing's going to affect you. You know this joke, it says, old lady goes to court. And the judge says, how old are you? She says, Kanayan Hara, I'm 80 years old. He said, answer the question. How old are you? Kanayan Hara, I'm 80 years old. He said, answer the question. So her lawyer says, can I ask the judge, please don't get upset. She says, Kanayan Hara, how old are you? She says, I'm 80 years old. Kanayan Hara, how old are you?
Uh-huh.
Then she says, I'm 80 years old. But before, she wouldn't say, I'm 80 years old. She said, Kanayan Hara. So the more you believe in it, the worse it is. That's the trouble. It's paranoia. The person becomes paranoid. This guy's looking at me. Have a guy, he's nuts. He's totally nuts. He's like, I feel this guy's energy. I feel that guy's energy. Get out of here. Don't drive everyone crazy. You know, you're crazy, you drive everyone crazy. So some people go, the red strings, the blue this, and the hand, and they drive you nuts. That's how these ancient societies worked. And that's how it says, Rambam says an amazing thing. He says, that's how the ancient kings kept law and order in their society. By putting fear into people. By putting paranoia into people. He says, not a single slave escaped from Egypt before the Jews. Why? The Egyptians told everyone there's wild animals around Egypt. Any slave that goes, there's demons. There's demons. They put all sorts of fears in their head, paranoia, that they would never get away. And if you go to Black Africa till today, the witch doctor, he makes a little doll and puts pins in it. He says, listen, that's you. I'm killing you. This guy's, you're going to die. The guy lies down in his bed and he dies. It happens till today. It's psychosomatic. Yeah.
So if somebody trusts in God and doesn't believe in Ayin Hara.
That's it.
But yet he has
wealth and he flaunts it. So why
doesn't
can't
don't flaunt it? Don't flaunt it.
No, but I'm saying it doesn't make sense if he doesn't believe in it, but say he just wants to flaunt it. Like,
no, okay, flaunt it. You can flaunt your wealth. You flaunt your wealth. You do what happens. You get robbers and cheats and everything comes. I'm just saying, it's not a good idea to flaunt in the real, anyway.
Right.
It's not a good idea to flaunt.
Absolutely, but you know what I'm saying.
So, are you worried about your Ayin Hara? No, but I'm worried about physical things. I'm worried about robbers. That's not Hasuas Ayin Hara. So, a person's got to take all precautions, reasonable precautions. I've heard beautiful things. I was talking about security. You know, today we're very concerned about security. So, a rabbi went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I said this yesterday in my drasha. He goes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, how much should we spend on worrying about safety in the shul? How much time should we spend on security in the shul? So Chaim Kanievsky says, how much talking is there in the shul? He says, well, there's a little bit of talking, so then spend a little bit on security. There's a lot of talking, you need to spend a lot on security. So in other words, we don't really realize the spiritual effects of what we do. The spiritual effects of what we do. Suppose when they do spiritual things wrong, it creates bad effects in the world above. It creates vibes. Everything we do creates vibes. We don't have to realize that. Everything we do in this world has ripple effects. Some of the ripple effects we can see with our own children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Bezrat Hashem, good things. And sometimes we can see the bad things coming out as well. So the ripple effects are what we do. And sometimes you can't see anything. Why? Because the ripple effects are in the worlds above and you don't see it until you get to the next world and they say, this is what you created. You say, what I created? Yeah, these, Chaim Volozhin, it's very scary. He says a book called Nefesh Chaim. We did this, we covered this a few years ago. Nefesh HaChaim. He says that when a person dies, they'll show him. You see all these worlds? You created them. He said, wow, I created all these worlds? He says, yes, with all your good deeds, you created all these worlds. You see all these worlds? You destroyed them. I destroyed them? Yeah, with all your bad deeds, you destroyed these worlds. So we don't really realize the power of our actions and our thoughts, even our thoughts and our speech. We can create with our words, and we can destroy with our words. We can create with our thoughts. Thoughts are the worst, because thoughts are the highest part of the human bone. Human being, the thoughts are the highest. The soul is really thoughts. The person's got to realize the person's thoughts. The person has clean thoughts, pure thoughts, good thoughts. The soul is vibrant. The person has bad thoughts, evil thoughts all the time. He's ruining their straw. They're really ripping their soul apart. The soul is in the mind. The soul is not going to come into a mind which is a dirty place to be. Our minds, we have to realize, our minds are our Beit HaMikdash. We are walking temples. Our minds is where the soul is. So we have to realize that. God is in our minds. God is in our heads. When we think about God, He's there with us. So we can bring God into our lives. We can remove God from our lives. Okay, so we have to realize, what is the main part of the Torah? That he's telling us to focus. Tukuvot and Gematriot. So a lot of people like Gematria. You know what Gematria is? The numerical value of this, numerical value of that. Some people spend their whole lives numerical value of this. He said, these things are small things. These things are appetizers. Gematriot are appetizers. They're appetizers for the main thing. The main thing is the laws of the Torah. The main thing are the laws, the main laws of the Torah. So even astronomy, he says, are small things. Because they're not teaching you Torah. They're not teaching you what to do in your life. Gematria doesn't teach you what to do in your life. It sounds good. It's very nice. These are hints. Okay, now we come to most, I think this is one of my favorite Mishnah. If you ask me what's my most favorite Mishnah, chapter 4, remember this, chapter 4, Mishnah 1, Pirkei Avot, and this is one of the students, one of the great students. Sometimes they were great students, never got smicha. They were never called rabbi. They were brilliant, they were geniuses. So why didn't they get their smicha? And the answer is they didn't want responsibility. Once you're a rabbi, you have responsibilities. People ask you questions, and they expect to get answers, and you have to give a psak, you have to give a halakha. So he remained a student all his life. But he was a genius. This man was a genius. Ben Zoma. His name is Ben Zoma, with a mem, not an mem. Ben Zoma. He was the one in the Haggadah. He was the Haggadah. Elazar ben Azariah says, I am like a man of 70, and I couldn't learn this law till Ben Zoma came along. This is Ben Zoma. He was a great man, never got a smicha. And they would call him by his father's name, the son of Zoma. They wouldn't have given him a name.
Wasn't he also the one that went to Pardes?
Yes. Arba nichnasu le Pardes. Four great rabbis went into the Pardes. Whatever that means. And halavai, if you can go in there. You know, just to go in is not a joke. So it says, Ben Azai dies. Ben Zoma went crazy. That's what we're talking about, went crazy. Elisha ben Abuya became an apostate. and Rabbi Akiva came out whole. It's the dangers of learning Kabbalah. So that's why the Ashkenazim especially say you're not allowed to learn Kabbalah till you're 40 years old and you know the whole Torah anyway. First you have to learn the whole Torah, you're 40 years old, you're stable, and then you can learn Kabbalah. Yes? Why do you ask hard questions? Yes, send your husbands to learn Kabbalah. Women don't learn Kabbalah. Except Madonna. Madonna's different. She's, I don't know what Kabbalah she's learning. She's weird, okay. But I'm just saying. So if you imagine Kabbalah, okay. What is Kabbalah? Kabbalah. So anyway, even the Kabbalists don't understand Kabbalah. Because we're talking about spiritual worlds and spiritual dimensions. And it's like you have to, and the trouble is the person thinks they're physical, you're finished. You go mad. Because they're not physical. These are spiritual things. We have no idea what's going on, really. We learn it, but we don't really know what it means. It says interesting because usually when you learn Torah, you have to at least understand the words. A person learns Mishnah and doesn't understand what he's saying. He's not learning anything. He's got to at least understand the words. When it comes to Zohar, you can learn it without even understanding the words. Why? Because no one understands it. Even the people who learn it don't understand it. You talk about metaphysical concepts which are so hard to understand, barely anyone can understand them. Anyway. So now we come to Ben Zoma. Are you okay? Okay. Ben Zoma asks a question. Ben Zoma says, my favorite Mishnah. This is my favorite Mishnah, so pay attention. Ezehu Hakam. Who is a wise person? Halomed Mikol Adam. Here we are. Shneemar. As it says, in Tehilim Kuf Yutet. Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti. From anyone who taught me, I learned, David HaMelech says. I learned from everyone who taught me. You can learn from anyone, and you can learn from anything. We talked about last week, how you can learn derech eretz from animals. You look at the industriousness of the ant. Amazing. You look at the cleanliness of the cat. You look at the faithfulness of a dog. You can learn from these things. So we can learn from anyone. A person's going to look around. You can learn from babies. You can learn from kids. You can learn from anyone. But a person has to have an open mind. A person says, I know everything. Oh, you know everything? I can't teach you. I'm sorry. I can't teach you that. You know everything. You can't. I know everything. Some people know everything. And they know nothing. Exactly. So a person's got to have an open mind. And this applies to even the greatest people. A person thinks, I know everything. Today it's impossible to know everything. Even the greatest doctor, his specialty. He's got a specialty in this, and this guy's got a specialty in this. And you need someone on top of them to put them all together and to put everything together. That's the hard part. Some hospitals don't have a hospitalist. You know, some hospitals, they have a hospitalist. In Philadelphia, they have a hospitalist, which means there's a guy on top of all the specialists. He's running the whole show. Over here in Robert Woods, it's a disaster. Because you've got this specialist, 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 and there's no guy on top of them. If you don't have your own private doctor who will come in and every day and watch what's going on, there's no really guiding the whole path. So the lung doctor says this, all he looks at is his lungs. Lungs are fine, go home. Well, what about the other part of him which is falling?
But the sometimes the doctors can't even go in anymore now.
Yeah, I know, it's a big problem. It's a big problem today. Okay, so who is a wise person? So, it's impossible to know. There's so much knowledge today. There's so much knowledge. Just look around you. Look at this book. I mean, can you think of learning everything here? If you just sat here all day long, how many weeks would it take you to learn everything over here? And then, by the time you learn one, you'll forget the other one.
Right, exactly.
So it's just a non-stop. Learning means learning all your life. Oh, you're learning, 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 learning. And the more you learn, the more you ask, and the more you get used to it, v'shinan tam levanecha, you will teach it to your children and teach it over and over again. That's what learning is all about. And learning is you have an open mind because you need to keep learning. We have to realize we're all, in my old school, we used to call ourselves a community of learners. A community of learners because the teacher is also learning. We're all learning. Everyone is learning over here. It's not just the kids coming to learn. Even the teachers are learning, the principal is learning, everyone's learning. We're all learning because there's so much to learn. It's never ending. The Torah is never ending. It says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who is one of the greatest rabbis who knew him the most, says, when he died, he said, lift up his hands. He says, my hands are like two Sifrei Torah. And yet, I know as much as a dog can lick from the ocean. I learned from my rabbis as much as the dog can lick from the ocean. Which doesn't make sense either. Because dogs don't lick from the ocean. It's dirty. It's water, which is, you can't drink. But it's, there's so much knowledge. Torah knowledge, secular knowledge, every kind of knowledge. There's so much knowledge today. Today there's been a burst of knowledge. You don't really realize it. The come on guys, help me. The Industrial Revolution. All of a sudden, knowledge. Phew. Before that, we're on the wheel. They discovered the wheel. That was the biggest invention for 2,000 years. The wheel. You know, so nothing moved since then.
This thing started moving with the dinosaurs.
That's right, exactly. This thing started moving so fast. Boom, 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 boom. Man went to the moon and there's transistors and then all of a sudden computing and now AI. Scary. AI. The robots going to control us. Are we
going to
control
Asimov's
the...
going to come true.
Are we
going to
control the robots or are they going to control us?
Ask Isaac Asimov.
I think he's passed away. But Isaac's a smart guy. Okay. So who is a wise man? A person who learns from everyone. And that applies to women as well, not just men. It's not about a wise man, it's about a wise woman. Everyone. We know the concept of a wise woman. What's a wise woman? Chokhmat nashim banta beita. The wisdom of a woman builds her house. You know that? The wisdom of a woman builds her house. V'isha avelet beita yahasena. And a stupid woman destroys her house. So just to keep... Just to keep one's house going and not get divorced, it takes so much wisdom. Yeah. But it takes so much wisdom just to stay married. I tell you, it's just so hard to stay married today. Because there's so many choices out there. Okay, so heck with you, I'll get someone nicer than you. Go away! Get someone prettier, I'll get someone younger, get someone this, get that, 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 that. Goodbye!
Better you should believe in the Ayin Hara.
Class me, shut up. Wisdom. It takes wisdom to stay together. So who is a wise person? You can learn. You can learn from other people, read other books. And I know my mother, she's amazing. My mother was a learner. She was learning all her life. She would, till the late 80s, she was reading books. She would read all the books and she'd underline and take notes. She's an amazing learner. That's the way a person should be. Always learning. Because you're young, as long as you're still learning. That's the definition of youth. Jewish definition of youth is, as long as you're still learning, you're young. Once you stop learning, that's it. So, keep learning, stay fresh. Stay fresh. So number two, Ezu Gibor. Who is strong? Oh, not me, I'm waiting. I say, who is strong? You know, these strong guys walking around, they work out, they can lift up. You have a guy here, lift. How much can he lift? 200 pounds on his thing. Is that a strong guy?
No.
What's the definition of strength?
Kovesh
it's raw. Control himself. Control. Self-control. A person who can control themselves is mighty. That's so hard to control oneself.
Oh, come on.
A person who can't control themselves, weak. So you can have big guys walking around, but have no self-control. And you have this little schnip walking around. And he's the gibor. Why is he a gibor? He can control his desires.
So what book is it? Right here.
We are doing Pirkei Avot, chapter 4. Remember this. Chapter 4, Mishnah 1. Chapter 4, Mishnah 1. One of my favorite Mishnayot. Ben Zoma. Number 1 is, who is wise? A person who learns from?
Everyone.
Who is strong? A person who controls themselves. Because a person can't control themselves, they're the weaklings. Every little thing, they'll give in to this and give in to that and give in to that. So it's very, very important. Self-control. And that's exactly what the Torah is trying to teach us. Right from day 1. You wake up in the morning, I'm hungry. Go wash hands. But I'm hungry. Wash hands. Dress up. Now what? Pray. You gotta pray. Then you wash hands again to get to eat bread. And then say a bracha and then you can eat. What's that teaching us? Self-control. Self-restraint. I want to sleep. Well, you got to wait. You gotta say Shema. You got to say Yoshveh, Yoshveh Techa. You got a few things you got to say before you sleep. You can't just sleep like that. You're going to sleep. You need self-control. Exactly with the army. You go to the army. It's like an army. Yeah, Judaism is like an army. You're in the army. You're in God's army. You have to do certain things according to certain routines. It's Shabbat. I want to go to the mall. Well, you can't go to the mall today. It's Shabbat. I want to buy this. I have a desire to buy this. Well, so wait another day. You'll buy it tomorrow. The worst part of it is the smokers. It's amazing. How could they control themselves for 25 hours?
That's what I always ask.
You see the guys, they're nervous. They're getting nervous already. End of Shabbat. They can't. They're like trembling already. But they stop for 25 hours. Amazing. But it's a terrible thing, terrible disease. So who is mighty? The might is not the strength. The might is in the head. Can you control yourself? Can you control what you see? Can you control what you touch? Can you control what... Sometimes you can't control yourself. So that's not a mighty person, that's a weak person. And that's why people feel no self-esteem. Low self-esteem, I can't control myself. So try with small things. Try with small things. There's a nice piece of chocolate cake over there. I like this chocolate cake. I love chocolate cake.
I'll take it.
But I sort of said, you know what? If it's Shabbat, no problem. No Shabbat. Shabbat, chocolate cake is a mitzvah. Onik Shabbat.
But you have now the wrong mindset. You're supposed to love people and love God. You're not supposed to love food.
Why not? You can have benefit from this world. Pleasure from this world. It's not you say bracha before, bracha after, you can have pleasure. Before the bracha, it's robbery. Gemara says. Because there's a two psukim. One pasuk says, "Va'ares natan levnei adam." Hashem gave the land to man. The other pasuk says, "La'Hashem ha'aretz u'lo'ah." Everything belongs to God. So the Gemara says, before the bracha, everything belongs to God. After the bracha, you can have it. It's please, Hashem, can I have it? Bracha says please, and afterwards you've got to say thank you, and then you can have benefit from this world, and you can thank God. You can make an extra bracha, an extra power bracha. Because something you like, Hashem, thank you so much for this chocolate cake. And Hashem says, pleasure, just don't have too much. All right, so how do we learn that? We learn from Mishlei. This is a beautiful line in Mishlei, King Solomon. Tov erech apayim b'gibor. It's so hard to be slow to anger. It's so easy to lose your anger. A person can lose their temper. We can talk from now till tomorrow and say how great it is to be easy, you know, to control yourself, control yourself, control yourself. You get one little nick. And a person loses their temper, especially with one's spouse, and especially with one's children, especially those close to us, because they get under our nerves more than anyone else. So those are the ones we have to be careful about. A person's got to be careful to control themselves. Tov erech apayim b'gibor. A person who's slow to anger is greater than a mighty warrior. Moshel beruchor. A person who controls his own spirit is greater than a person who can conquer a city. So you have all these great dictators. They can conquer the world, but they can't control themselves. And you see it. You see, they couldn't control themselves. Kill this one, kill this one, kill this one, kill this one. They couldn't control themselves. It was one little bit. So a person who can control themselves is greater than a person who can conquer a city. A person's going to realize, what is true strength? True strength is saying no to oneself and controlling oneself, controlling one's desires. And a person's going to know all the time, Judaism doesn't say stop your desires. Judaism says channel your desires. A big difference. It doesn't say don't get married, it says get married. It doesn't say asur, forbidden to do this, forbidden to do that. No, it says do it in a proper way. You want to eat, eat. Eat kosher. You want to drink, drink, but drink kosher. You want to have relations, go have relations, go get married. So there's kosher ways of doing everything. Everything is channeled. Nothing is prohibited completely like that. So it's very important to know how to control oneself. It's so such a hard thing to do, especially one's temper and one's... Person wants to lash back at someone. Someone lashed you, you want to lash them back. You want to teach them a lesson. Control first, control. Ezu Ashir. Now we come to the best one. And this is a 1 hour class. This is going to be my class next week, right?
What, who is happy?
Who is happy? Who is wealthy? Who is wealthy? A person who is happy. Happiness is a 1 hour topic. We're going to talk about next week, Ezra Ashir. It's worth coming next week.
Next week, thank for you. Who is happy?
Thank you. Happiness, true happiness. What is true happiness? Rose, can you send it out? What is true happiness?
Thank you, Rabbi.
And this Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we're talking about Islam. We're talking about the advent of Islam, how it affected the Jews view Islam.